Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will teach us from the book of Proverbs on wisdom with words.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and
One of my mottos is, life is all about relationships. You see, when all is said and done, it's the quality of our relationship with God and with other people that is most important in life. If we have great relationships, we are truly living. And relationships are built up through communication. One of the primary ways we communicate is through words. But all I have to do is say that, and you immediately feel convicted, because it is very, very difficult to control our words. We wholeheartedly agree with what James writes in James chapter 3, a passage I read with fear and trepidation as one who was a teacher in the church. From the New Living Translation, it says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." Wow, James nailed it. The tongue is talked about frequently in the Bible. I'm sure you're familiar with Ephesians 4:29, where it says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Our words should never, ever tear people down. They should be carefully chosen like a Christmas present to meet a need and bring joy to the recipient. Think about that with your words, that you would choose them as carefully as you do other gifts to meet the needs of people. And then Jesus warned about coming accountability in Matthew 12, verse 36. He said, "I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Wow. Proverbs talks more about the tongue and words than almost any other topic. And in honor of the recent 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation and its emphasis on the Scriptures alone, I want to take you today through a little Scripture shower, or we call it a Bible bath, and then next Saturday as well, as we look to Proverbs to learn how we can have wisdom with our words. Now remember, wisdom does not equal intelligence. Wisdom is skillful living. It's understanding and skillfully applying God's truth to every area of your life. Now, what do wise people know about words? Well, let's look at Proverbs and find out. And our first principle is this: words can be used for good or for evil. There was a saying I remember as a kid, and I'm sure you heard it as well. It goes something like this: "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That is simply not true. Words are powerful. And some of us as children heard words that were negative, and they impacted us our whole life. You can probably even hear those words echoing in your head as I say this. And yet some of us heard words as little children that were so positive that they positively impacted our lives. And that is why we need to be diligent with the use of our words. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Proverbs 11:9, "With his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." Or Proverbs 11:11, "By the blessing of the upright a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is torn down." Proverbs 12:18, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Do you hear those contrasts? What you can do positively with your tongue or what you can do negatively with your tongue. And think of this one in Proverbs 12, verse 25. "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." Anxiety is a huge problem in our culture today. And oh, that our words would lighten the load of an anxious soul and bring gladness to the heart of our friend. That's what we can do with our words. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death." We can use our words to warn people of consequences of choosing the wrong path. And Proverbs 15:4 says, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life." Think of that word picture about how your words can build up others. But it says, "Perversion in your words crush the spirit." How often has a person's spirit been crushed by perverted words? I have heard people say to their children, "I wish you had never been born." What a horrible thing to say. I've heard spouses say to one another, "I wish I had never married you." Those are painful, destructive, crushing words. But Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Now listen, my friends, that's what it ought to be like every week when we go to church. Imagine going to the church and seeing the people of God filled with the Spirit of God, meditating on the Word of God, speaking pleasant words to one another that are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Oh, that our churches would be a honeycomb of delight where we come and we are built up and encouraged, and then we can go back into the world and make an eternal difference. You could help make your church that way by the way you use your words. Proverbs 12:19 says, "Truthful lips will be established forever." Your words can make an eternal impact. Choose them carefully. Proverbs 18, verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Or Proverbs 18:20, "With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied, for he will be satisfied with the product of his lips." Wise people separate themselves from fools by the usage of words. Wise people use words for good, not evil. Now think about this, even in our emails and our texts. You see, emoticons will not cover the pain of saying something nasty to someone else, and neither will LOL. You say something hurtful to somebody and put LOL after that? Really? You're laughing out loud after you just ripped me apart? It doesn't work, my friend. We need to be careful with our words, whether they are spoken or written. Choose your words to accomplish good, not evil. Well, the second principle we see in Proverbs is that words are like investments. Now, one of the programs I really enjoy is Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey. He teaches a lot of principles in there on investments, retirement accounts, and they emphasize something really critical in the financial realm. Get a high return on investment. See, he wants people to retire with dignity. And to do that, you usually need to invest wisely with a good rate of return for a significant period of time. Think about your life that way in your words. Invest wise words for a significant period of time, and you will see a great return. See, investments are not just made with money. You can invest with your words. And like money, our words can be, first of all, foolishly invested. If you invest foolish words, you will not get a good return on your investment. Look at five ways this can happen. First of all, you will not get a good return on investment when words are spoken by a fool. Proverbs 26, verse 7 and 9 say, "Like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools." Verse 9, "Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools." What he's saying is that people know the person is a fool by his lifestyle, and they ignore what he has to say, even what he is saying is good. His words don't match his lifestyle, so people don't want to hear it. Therefore, there's no return. The second foolish investment is when there's no return on an investment because your words are spoken to a fool. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The mind of the intelligent seek knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly." The fool doesn't want to hear wise things. Proverbs 17:10, "A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool." Proverbs 23, verse 9, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." And Proverbs 29:9, "When a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest." Don't waste your words on a fool. The third foolish investment with words is when our words are not accompanied by appropriate actions. Here's the picture for you. Your neighbor's house is on fire. You run over and burst through the door. You run up the stairs. You yell and wake all of them up and say, "Your house is on fire. Get out, get out." Then you go down to your neighbor's living room and turn on the TV and start watching a show. There's something incongruent. Your life doesn't match your words. And Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Say the words all you want, but if you're lazy and you're doing nothing, you're going to accomplish nothing. Proverbs 29:19, "A slave will not be instructed by words alone, for though he understands, there will be no response." Your words, your actions need to go together. There's a fourth foolish investment when our words simply aren't true. I heard of a little boy, he was reciting Patrick Henry's famous statement, and he said this, "Give me puberty or give me death." Now listen, nobody wants to go through that again. That is simply not true. Proverbs 24:11 and 12 says, "Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, 'See, we did not know this,' does he, God, not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work?" Oh, don't try to pull one over on God. He sees right through all of that. Make sure your words are true. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. My name is Paul Brown. I'm the pastor there, and we are studying Proverbs, learning about wisdom with our words. There is one more foolish investment we can make with our words. This would be number five. There is no return on investment with words unless they are spoken at the proper time in the proper way. Proverbs 27:14 says, "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned a curse to him." Listen, there are times when even the right words are not appropriate. It's the wrong time. Keep it to yourself. Save it until the right time. Well, words can be foolishly invested, and like investments, there are times that they are better saved than spoken. See, one of the principal differences between a wise man and a fool is that the wise man exercises restraint in his use of words, while the fool has a hair-trigger lip. I heard one person say this, and I think it's so true. "I rarely regret what I don't say." That's a great quote. Proverbs 10:19 would agree with that. "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Proverbs 21:23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." And Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Sometimes you're better off saving those words, holding on to them, minimizing them, reducing them. And oh, am I speaking to myself right now? A pastor who preaches 45 minutes every Sunday morning, oh, there's a lot of words there, and we must be careful. Well, there are three guiding principles as you save your words until the appropriate time to use them. The first one is save your words until you have truly and completely listened to the other person. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." He's talking about people who interrupt. Are you one of those people? You're constantly jumping ahead, thinking you know what the person means by what they're saying. They haven't finished a sentence. You've already finished the whole paragraph for them. You've concluded what they're coming to. You disagree. You formulated your response, and you cut them off halfway through. Proverbs says that that's foolish. You need to fully understand what the person is saying before you answer. Proverbs 18:15 says, "The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Notice which part of the anatomy is so important? The ear. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. And this is so important when it comes to counseling, because Proverbs 18:17 says, "The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him." It is so easy to jump to a conclusion when you've only heard one side of a story. You need to hear both sides of the story, and then you're going to find out there's actually three sides of the story. There's what one person said, there's what the other person said, and then there's something that really happened. And you have to be wise, you have to listen, you have to not jump to conclusions. Well, a second principle is you need to save your words until strong emotions pass. Proverbs 15:1-2 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Now understand, the word gentle, when he talks about a gentle answer, is not weak. The word gentle refers to strength under control, and a person needs to control their strong emotions, use them for good, and not be overcome by them. Proverbs 17:27 says, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Proverbs 29:11, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back." Listen, my friend, if you are in an intense situation, you're starting to lose your cool, tell your spouse, your friend, your business partner, whoever it is, say, "You know what? I need a moment. I need to stop and reflect on what we're talking about here. Let me walk away for a bit, and then I'll come back, and we can talk some more." Well, there's the third principle. Save your words until you carefully consider what to say and how to say it. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." See, a wise person slows down, thinks, meditates, chooses words carefully. The fool just spouts off the first thing off the top of their head. You notice in our culture, we've lost that sense of tact, that art of communicating in a very gracious manner. There was a man who was not very tactful, and his wife had a poodle that she loved desperately. And it was the object of her affection. And one day she was off on this long trip without him. And she was away, and the first day she made it to New York, and she called home and said, "Hey, honey, how are things?" And he said, "The dog's dead." Well, she was devastated. She collected her thoughts and said, "Why do you do that? Why can't you be more tactful?" He said, "What do you want me to say? The dog died." She said, "Well, you can give it to me in stages. For example, you could say, when I call from New York, the dog's on the roof. And when I get to London and call, you could tell me, honey, the dog fell off the roof. And when I call from Paris, you could say, honey, the dog had to be taken to the vet. In fact, he's in the hospital, not doing well. And when I call you from Rome, you might say, honey, brace yourself. Our dog died." She said, "I could handle that." He said, "Oh, I see. I understand. I'll do better." She said, "By the way, how's mother?" He said, "She's on the roof." Well, let's learn to be tactful. Words foolishly invested have no return on investment. They're better saved than spoken. And thirdly, there are forbidden or illegal investments with words. Think about what we often call insider trading. It's illegal. Famous people have gone to prison over this. And in the same way, there are illegal uses of words that God actually condemns. One of those is revealing secrets or confidences. Somebody tells you something, they want it just between the two of you, and you go broadcast it to others. That is illegal in God's mind. Proverbs 11, verse 13, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." And by the way, we are guilty of doing this often in the form of a prayer request. sharing something with others that that person did not want shared between anybody else but you and them. There's much warning about that. In fact, Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Killing Giants, Pulling Thorns, tells about a gray slate tombstone on a windswept hill in an English country churchyard. It said this: "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." Wow, she had to die before she got a grip on that. Keep confidences. Secondly, the second illegal investment with words is hasty commitments. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, warns the father Solomon to his son, don't make hasty commitments. And if you do, rush back over there and do everything you can to get out of it. Boy, it is so quick and easy for someone to say, I vow I will do this, I promise I will do this, and they don't follow through. And God wants us to keep our commitments. Proverbs 20, verse 25, it's a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after the vows to make inquiry. There's a third illegal investment with words, and those are words that start fights. One man rightfully said, in marriage, the wife has the last word in every argument. Anything the husband says after that is the beginning of a new argument. Well, I don't know that that's always true, but we have to be warning ourselves to not use words to start fights. Proverbs 20, verse 3, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. The fourth illegal investment with words is to curse your parents. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. And Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. You know, you're not required to obey your parents in everything as you become an adult, but you're always required to honor them. Well, the fifth illegal investment with words is a false witness. Proverbs 19, verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Proverbs 19, 28, a rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. One more. The sixth illegal investment with words is flattery. Flattery. Proverbs 26, 28, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 28, 23, he who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. Well, that's all we have time for today. But listen, my friends, don't get involved in flattery. Don't build people up artificially. Speak the truth in love. As we conclude, life really is all about relationships. Relationships are built on communication, and communication is done in a huge way through words. Realize your words can be good or your words can be evil. They really do help or hurt people. Realize that your words are like investments. You want to get a good return on investment, but you won't if there are words spoken by a fool, if they're words spoken to a fool, if they're not accompanied by appropriate actions, if they're not true, if they're not spoken at the proper time in the proper way. Sometimes they're better saved than spoken. And forbidden illegal investments, avoid them at all costs. Don't reveal secrets. Don't make hasty commitments. Don't use words that start fights. Don't curse your parents. Don't bear false witness. And don't be accused of flattery. Oh, my friends, build your relationships with godly words and bring glory to God in all that you say and all that you do. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. Pastor Paul would love for you to join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, where we are currently going verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. We have a fantastic children's program during the worship service, and then Sunday school for nursery through adults at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. To learn more about our church, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. On our website, you can listen to past sermons and radio broadcasts. And please join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA when Pastor Paul will share part two of Wisdom with Words from the book of Proverbs.